Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and joining me in studio right now is the director of the Carnegie Museum, Elise Nelson. And I have not had this as a topic for our show, so I'm excited to learn about the museum. It's really literally right across the street from our studios. I've been there a couple of times. It's a terrific place, and now I get to learn a lot about it. So Elise, welcome to the program. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Now, the Carnegie Museum itself, it's an old building, historic building in Houghton. What did it used to be before it was a museum?
It was the public library. It opened in 1910 as the Houghton Public Library. And when they moved in 2006, it became a museum. The original library was built with a $15,000 grant from the Andrew Carnegie Foundation that was sought by the superintendent of schools at the time, I think Mr. Doley. And a group of local people, and they successfully got this grant, and that provided money to build the building, and I think some of the furnishings. The town was required to come up with the property on which it was built, and money in the budget to pay for a librarian. Mm. So they got the grant in 1908. And broke ground in 1909, which is what our stone has on. And in 1910, they opened the doors in February. And I was very heartened to read in the paper that they were trying to open in the fall of 1909, but they ran into construction delays, waiting for the floor to dry, and opened a few months later.
That's pretty fascinating to me. I always enjoy history, our local history. It's just so rich in that it goes back so far, and to find out original uses of buildings, some of them, that are now either they're stores or maybe they're nothing now, but they were something quite important at one point. So a while back I had learned about the library being there previously and just thought that was pretty fascinating. But I also didn't know. So it was the library up until about 10 years ago. Okay.
Yeah. Not even 10 years ago. Right.
All right.
And when it was built, there was, of course, what's now Continental Fire Company was the fire hall in Houghton until I think the 1970s. And so when the then library was built, they shared heat. So the furnace was in the firehouse, and then a pipe ran under the street and fed the radiators in the now museum.
Maybe something else that strikes me is that Houghton did not have a museum of its own until this was started.
There's the Siemens Mineral Museum.
Sure,
and then there's
rocks there.
Yeah, there's rocks there, and then there's a hockey museum in the D. Mm-hmm. But they didn't have a museum.
And there's the County Historical Museum in Lake Linden.
Right, and we're a very different setup. So the what happened was that when the library decided to, they ran out of space. There's very little parking. It was on two floors. There's no accessibility between the floors.
I couldn't imagine squeezing what the Portage Lake District Library is now. You got a fairly good sized building. It's a lot bigger than what it looks like from the outside.
Right.
But still, to take what they have over there right now, it looked like it was a good move for them.
Yeah, I think it was great. And it worked out for, I think, the city because we get two community institutions. At the time that the library moved in spring of 2006, of course, the Continental Fire Company didn't exist. It was just a boarded up building. And it was kind of in the midst of a lot of the resurgence of the facade renovations in downtown Houghton. And I think that my understanding is there was a group of community people that were concerned that when the library left the building, that the building would be privatized or razed or somehow just left to ruin. And a group of people came together to make sure that the building stayed public. And one of those was a man named John Harrow, who is from Houghton or Pelkey, but anyway, he's an architect. And he is a summer person now, and he's one of the people that was instrumental in going to the city council and saying, this building is an important building and needs to stay public, and I have an idea of how to do it. And it, at the same time, Mr. Ralph Raffelli, who was the police chief, who had a personal interest in history and organized the D Stadium photo exhibits, he was also involved in this group. So the very first collection that they showed were some of the photographs, Ralph's photographs. And we're very different in from the Keweenaw Historical and the Houghton County Historical in that they both collect things and then have them on display, have some of them on display. We do not really have a collection, except the building itself is our collection and some of the furnishings. But we have rotating exhibits of local interest. So it's a different setup. So we are trying to be, our goal is to be more of a, not a museum as collection, but more a community place. So it's a place where the community can come together and display their knowledge, their interest. And, you know, we do a lot of collaborative exhibits with tech and the high school and other community groups.
But you also have a lot of terrific photos on those walls, though. They're different ones that I've browsed through. Great historical photos of the area that, you know, I assume that those don't go anywhere.
No. Well, the city owns the Raffelli collection. His widow gave his collection to the city. And it's shown at the D in the summer. And then I do use some of it for different exhibits. But the point really is that we change things. So, depending on the exhibit, we pull different things from that collection or other collections.
Now, as the director of the museum, do you find yourself, ongoing education of history in this area? Do you consider yourself an expert of Houghton history now?
I don't consider myself an expert of Houghton history, but I have learned a tremendous amount about local history. I moved here in 2002. I wasn't raised in the Midwest, so I'd never even, frankly, heard of the UP until my husband accepted a job here. And I know more about this place and the history of this place and families in this place than anywhere else I've ever lived. So, and it's great. It's full of fun history. I've met a lot of wonderful people, and it's a great place.
Now, you have a lot of shows that come through and a lot of activities that happen up at the museum. And so this is a good time to talk about those things. And let's start with why that is, because this is a good, important time of year for the museum.
Yes. A year ago, we started a membership program. And so we have once a year, we call Night at the Museum, and that's kind of a membership joining and renewal, membership drive and a big party. Our membership year is from October to October, but we accept, of course, memberships at any time of the year. And the benefits of membership are primarily supporting your community museum. Also, we offer a discount on trolley tickets. We run these trolley tours. So besides exhibits, we have a lot of programs. We have a talking seminar series throughout the winter, a monthly seminar series about natural history. In the summer, we have a series of, we call them trolley tours, although this year it was a tour bus because the trolley was being repaired, where we work with the Red Jacket Trolley and do tours, mostly historic, but just often natural history as well, and throughout the area.
And what does it take to be a supporter? What does that involve?
Our basic membership is $25. That's a friend membership, and that with that you have a the discount on the trolley tours. The next level is patron. That's $60, and that's you get a free complimentary trolley ticket, and of course the other benefits. And then it goes up from there. We accept any amount.
Is there any particular reason why this time of year you choose to push it, or is it just sounds like a good time?
Honestly, we started, I think the first time we did it was in August, and it just seems that in this area, there was a kind of tough time for the board to do things, and there's so many events going on in August, and we kept kind of pushing it, and the last couple of years we've done October, and it seems like things are kind of quieting down a little bit, and it's a good time those of us that have children there back in school, and we can focus on the fundraiser.
Tell me about the museum itself, right? Right now, as it stands, not particularly about what exhibit might be on display, but you mentioned three floors. What does it look like to the person, you know, maybe who hasn't had a chance to visit?
It's actually two floors.
Two floors. Okay.
But we have the main entrance, which was when it was built. Excuse me, when the building was built, there's the main floor. It's a very classic style of architecture. So there's a central entry, and that was the adult section was on the left and the children's section on the right as you walk in. And downstairs, there's three rooms, and they were, when it was built, there were two bathrooms, and there was a lecture room, a classroom, and the gentleman's smoking room. The gentleman's smoking room is now used by the Genealogy Society, has a reading room there, and the classroom is supposed to be an office, but it's mostly more storage at the moment. And about a year, maybe 2 years ago, we got a gift from Rotary, Houghton Rotary, and with that we renovated the what was built originally as a lecture room. It has a small stage, and it was the children's library most recently. and we took out the bookcases and fixed the ceiling and stripped the floor, and we got a grant from UPGO also to install media equipment. So that's where we have our programs. And that's a room that's available to the community, much like the library has a community room offered to local nonprofit groups if they want to have meetings and or talks and so on. That's where we have our lecture series. So then the main floor, the exhibits are on the main floor, and at the time that we started using the building, I said the library was running out of space, so there were bookcases built across all the windows. Mm. And there was a small office that was kind of built into the corner, built in the 90s, I think. We took the office out, we took the bookcases down, and we covered the bookcases, the existing bookcases, with panels to show displays. And so the displays are all on the main floor. I think of it, we have a sort of a north gallery that's a little bit larger because the office is not in there. The south gallery, which was the children's section and has the reception desk, that's a little smaller. And what we try to do is we have a longer term exhibit in the larger side and a shorter term exhibit in the smaller side. We do also, when we renovated the room downstairs, we installed this system to hang paintings without going into the walls, the gallery hang system. So we do have displays, photographs, and so on downstairs on the walls of the community room in the hallway.
Okay. Talking right now with Elise Nelson. She is the director of the Carnegie Museum in Houghton. This means we're about halfway through. So let's go. We're going to talk about the actual exhibits that are coming up, some of the different things. If you're somebody who lives in the Houghton area, or you're visiting, and you're going to tell them, why should they come and visit the museum? Because you got you always have something going on.
We do, yes. Actually, a couple of winters we've closed for a few weeks while we do some renovations. So I would say the renovations, mostly what we've tried to do is maintain the integrity of the building, but kind of adapt it for its new use and for a more modern use. And that's why I said we kind of just covered over the bookcases, but we tried to maintain the trim so that you keep the architectural lines. The exhibit we have at the moment is the last 2 weeks of something called Beer UP, which is about history of breweries in the Keweenaw and about prohibition in the Keweenaw. So if you are from the area and you come in, you can look up your family name on the Wall of Fame, which is a list of everyone that got in trouble in the courthouse during prohibition. And that exhibit will be replaced by something by HEAT, which is the Houghton Energy Efficiency Team. They're going to put up a display about teaching homeowners to
how to
winterize their homes.
Okay. So not necessarily, you know, not a historical thing, but a community action
right.
type thing. But you mentioned that you have those a lot.
Yeah, and also the sort of thread is that a lot of people around here have historic homes, which need a lot of retrofitting sometimes.
Okay.
Then the exhibit that we're opening on Saturday is called Making of Modern Houghton, and that's something that was developed in collaboration. I worked with a tech class with Dr. Carol McLennan in social sciences students in ethnographic methods, and they took the subject of a period of Houghton from post-World War II until present day, looking at different aspects of how the city changed in that period of time, how it, you know, it was kind of the end of the industrial era and the rise of the current economy, which is primarily education, tourism, and less industrial. Each of the students interviewed people in the area about that period of time, and they did all the research. We turned each of their papers into an interpretive panel, and this is all sort of forming the basis of a exhibit that we're looking to do down the line that would be a permanent exhibit about the specifically the city of Houghton. Instead of, you know, most of the area museums, I think the focus is on mining or north of the bridge. And we found that Houghton was a very important place, which is why they have Carnegie was willing to build them a library. It was a very important center of transportation and business. So this is one portion of that future exhibit. So that's kind of exciting because we've been working on that for a while.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that you are doing that because you are right. I mean, we do have a lot of museums and places that have ties to our past, and a lot of it is directly related to mining. But Houghton, though it was it was here because of mining, we understand right. that. The history of the city itself is pretty fascinating, I don't know, it doesn't even have to go be, ancient history. I just found out a little while ago that there used to be a McDonald's on Sheldon Avenue. I was like, really? What? Somebody said the McDonald's building, and I thought they were talking about a building, the McDonald's building. They said, no, that's where we used to have the drive-thru for McDonald's. Yeah. So I didn't know that, and, that there used to, it was a Big Boys at one point, mm-hmm. and was there a Burger King, too? I don't know.
Yes.
I think there was that. Okay, there was. I don't know, that's only a few decades, but it's still pretty fascinating when I like seeing how things were. If you ever show me a picture of a streetscape with a trolley line down it, I always find that fascinating.
Yeah.
Or the telephone poles with the power lines and stuff and the snow piled up to the top
yeah.
of it. And all the people walking around. And if you look at those old pictures, too, and all the snow that's piled up, and you think, they didn't figure out how to take the snow away yet, so they were just kept piling it up there in the streets, and now they're almost as tall as the buildings. And
there's a photograph, I've seen it all around. Mr. Raffelli, besides collecting personally and then on behalf of the city, he put a lot of displays around town. So a lot of the businesses have photographs that he put in there, and I think it may be in one of the shops downtown. Certainly I've seen the D. There's a photograph of, I think it might be like 30s or so, and there's this pile of snow on the sidewalk, and there's a woman and a child walking down the street, and the little girl is kicking the thing of snow.
That's great.
It's a great, great photograph. The one thing that's really, I've really learned a lot from the students in working on these panels is that the city of Houghton in the 70s, and there's a picture we have actually in the show right now of Sheldon Avenue, and it's all you can see is sign. And apparently in the 70s and late 70s and beginning of the 80s, it was, they call it bustling mini metropolis in downtown Sheldon. And then businesses slowly started moving away down out onto M26. And in the last 10 years, I think there's really been a focus. A lot of new businesses have opened back in downtown, and a real resurgence to the vitality of a lot of downtowns, but I've watched it from up the hill at the museum. And that's actually part of, I think, the whole mission of the museum, and I believe what when they started the museum was we hope that we really help build that vitality of downtown, offer something else for people to come and see the museum and go to a restaurant or go shopping or to make it a very interesting downtown and not just drive through McDonald's.
Right. Now, I do want to make sure that we had enough time to cover your stuff that's coming up since you're having your, you know, your membership drive here. Do you have anything else that you'd like to highlight?
Well, our next, we have the membership drive, and of course we have membership forms available. You can go to the city center, you can come to the museum. We have a website, it's CarnegieKeweenaw.org. You can take a look at that and see what we're about on there, and also download membership forms. We also have, I said that we renovated the lecture room into a community room with the help of local funding. What we also did was, what we were using in there are these folding metal chairs from the D. So they were all getting a little bedraggled. So we borrowed money from the city of Houghton and bought several dozen chairs that are all uniform, easy to stack, comfortable to sit in. And we're selling those as sort of a fundraiser, $100 a chair. You can put your name on our chair for $100, and we'll put a plaque on the back.
If I do that, when I come there, I want my chair. I don't want nobody to be sitting in my chair.
Yeah, I have thought about that. I was going to say, you know, guarantee a seat, but, you know, not so much. But anyway, that that helps us to pay back the city for the chairs. So that's ongoing. That's something that how you can help out the museum. I should say all of our, we do not charge an admission. We don't charge admission for the programs, for the exhibits, for anything. The only thing is we do charge for is, of course, the membership drive, but and the trolley tours, because we have to rent the vehicle. But we're really committed to keeping our facility free to the public so that everyone can come and enjoy these things. But in order to do that, just because we're free, it's not free to produce these things. So that's why we're asking for a membership and contribution and trying to sell the chairs. The other thing that we have coming up is in December, we traditionally have a kind of playhouse made out of food, our gingerbread house, and we will be doing Santa pictures on December 19th. And you can come in and have your child's picture or your picture taken with Santa in exchange for, we ask for food that's to be donated to a food pantry. We're hoping in December to also, another sort of exciting thing, and again, kind of about a focus on the city of Houghton, is Finlandia University recently received a donation of paintings by, I can't say this name very well, it's Finnish, Reila Hyakainen.
I think that's a fairly good job.
And he did sort of realist paintings of Houghton, the city of Houghton, or the area, not just the city of Houghton. They're very realistic, but they're very romantic. I think typically maybe of the 30s or some kind of that kind of era. So those are going to be on loan to us. We're hoping that we can get that in on display around the holidays in December. So you can go on our website. You can be like us on Facebook or go on the website and ask to be put on our email list, and you will get all these notifications of everything coming up. So December gets kind of busy because we have gingerbread workshops and the Santa Day, Santa Picture Day, and our open house, and
definitely a lot of things going on, and a terrific museum, well worth the support. So I trust that you'll get plenty of people to support you, because this is fantastic. Yes. And thank you for your work that you do there. My guest is Elise Nelson, the director of the Carnegie Museum. I'm Rick Allen, and this is Copper Country Today. We'll be right back.